This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. It was on this day in 1860, by the way, that the first Pony Express rider reached Sacramento from St. Joseph, Missouri. That short-lived courier service connected the coasts and thrived for 18 months until the transcontinental telegraph lines were connected. And it was 101 years ago today that Captain Ed Smith of the Titanic said, "Iceberg? What iceberg?" Now the news. Fire officials plan to conduct a prescribed burn on the Uncompahgre Plateau beginning today and continuing through tomorrow. The burn area is located approximately a half a mile to the west of the Dave Wood Road near the forest boundary. The entire burn area is about 1,800 acres. However, firefighters will concentrate on burning about 150 to 200 acres this spring to create a black line around the perimeter and adjacent to private lands. A fall burn is planned for the remainder of the unit. A black line is an area that is intentionally burned from the outside boundary in to create a widened fire line that enhances the ability of firefighters to contain the burn. Members of the public are advised to avoid the Spring Creek Trail while this burn is being conducted. The objective of the prescribed burn is to reintroduce fire into the ecosystem of the area, to create fuel breaks in the layer of brush and shrubs within the area, to reduce the potential for high-intensity wildland fire, and to create a healthier forest through the creation of tree canopy gaps. Ouray District Ranger Tammy Randall Parker says these landscapes were historically shaped by fire, and the use of prescribed fire helps forests become more resilient to drought, insects, and severe wildfires. The Denver Post reports that farmer Ryan Laughlin of Springfield has planted the nation's first industrial hemp crop in almost 60 years. Monday's planting in southeastern Colorado attracted the attention of media and a documentary film crew. Hemp is generally related to marijuana, is genetically related to marijuana, but contains little or no THC, the psychoactive substance found in marijuana. Hemp has dozens of uses in food, cosmetics, clothing, and industrial materials. They're even making a car out of hemp. Its cultivation in small test plots became legal last year under a Colorado law. The passage of Amendment 64 in November allowed commercial growing, even though hemp, like marijuana, is illegal under federal law. Laughlin is planting 60 acres on acreage previously used to grow alfalfa. He and business partner Chris Thompson are also installing a seed press to produce hemp oil. Collaborators in the documentary include the Colorado-based advocacy group Hemp Cleans and hemp products company Hemp Incorporated. Bruce Perloan, chief executive of Hemp Incorporated, said, quote, "This is monumental for our industry. It will unlock a clean industrial revolution that will be good for the economy, good for jobs, and good for the environment." The Denver Post reports that an innovative program in Carbondale is drawing immigrants and other disenfranchised residents of the Roaring Fork Valley into the fabric of the local culture. The 7-month-old Valley Settlement Project has completely turned around individual lives and sent a positive ripple effect throughout Carbondale and nearby communities, which are home to 18,000 immigrant residents. It has done so through a combination of programs that includes a focus on early childhood development and adult education, along with efforts to connect more parents to the schools. Results have been quick in coming. Immigrants who had been isolated by language barriers, fear, and economic challenges have been venturing out of the shadows to become engaged members of society. Last week, Latino immigrants organized the largest Cinco de Mayo celebration the school has ever seen. Recently, they built a playground in 3 days. This week, they helped pass about 1,300 informational leaflets in low-income neighborhoods. They helped pass out about 1,300 informational leaflets. Some are taking language and GED classes. Some are signing up for college courses. They are putting their youngsters into a mobile preschool program and borrowing books for at-home reading. 17 mothers have gone through mentor training and together took the frightening step of being fingerprinted at the Carbondale Police Department, a necessary part of being school volunteers. All this began with the Manias Fund, created in 2005 by George Stranahan, a local entrepreneur and philanthropist known statewide for a premium whiskey bearing his name. Stranahan had the idea to make investments in nonprofits that were interested in being entrepreneurial and lessening their dependence on donations. Stranahan and other Manias workers put their heads together to try to figure out how to better integrate immigrants into the community and into the schools where more than half the students are Latino. Manias Fund workers began by knocking on more than 300 doors in the Valley's 23 poorest neighborhoods and questioning residents about their needs. Manias came up with six programs that are now part of the Valley Settlement Project. They made them a reality with the help from the Denver-based W.K. Kellogg Foundation, which kicked in a $1.2 million grant. A dozen other foundations and entities also helped with funding. The project founders chose to focus on two generations, children and their parents, so that changes accomplished through the program would endure. The project will be using different assessment tools to quantify results of all these efforts, but for now, changes are easily observed. Citizens for a Healthy Community and Wilderness Workshop present a free showing of Bitter 70 tonight at 7 p.m. at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. Bitter 70 tells the story of Tim DeChristopher, who disrupted a BLM oil and gas lease auction in 2008. He posed as a bidder and offered $1.7 million to win 22,000 acres of land he had no intention of paying for or drilling on. The auction was later negated and leases revoked after the Obama administration found that the land should never have even gone up for sale. DeChristopher was federally indicted, convicted, and sentenced to 2 years in prison for his act of civil disobedience. He was released last month after serving 21 months. To see a trailer of the film, go to citizensforahealthycommunity.org. I was in Bellingham, Washington in February, and I got to see that film as part of their local film festival on its first day, and it was quite an interesting story. Locally, the fight to keep negative impacts of gas drilling out of the North Fork Valley got a boost as some community members got a glimpse of the area from a higher plane. KVNF's Marty Derlin explains.
On Monday, the Western Slope Conservation Center and EcoFlight offered two tours of the North Fork Valley to graphically show the importance of the North Fork Valley Alternative Plan, a proposal created to provide a rallying point for residents concerned about oil and gas extraction on public lands. The Conservation Center's director, Sarah Sauter, explains the purpose of the flights.
The North Fork Alternative isn't about any particular parcel or any particular lease sale. It's about all of the federal minerals that BLM controls and manages. So we'll be looking at where BLM minerals are on the landscape. So yes, the North Fork lease sale is included in that and it has been deferred. We don't know what's happening. Thankfully, it hasn't been put up for sale again, but this plan is about something much bigger than just one lease sale. This is just to get us a better feel for the protections that the North Fork Alternative wouldn't set in place.
The flight lasted a half hour, with Sauter pointing out the proximity of water sources and schools to BLM lands. The almost startling green of our recently moistened spring landscape making the valley seem more jewel-like than ever. When it was over, consultant and activist Pete Kolbenschlag talked about how an accident can impact more than the immediate area. He noted the recent leak of hydrocarbons in Parachute.
I think what we're seeing up in around Parachute and Parachute Creek with the benzene spill up there is just a good case in point on what can happen and when things go wrong, when there's a spill, when there's a leak. All our water systems here are very tightly related. They're all connected. They're interwoven. People irrigate off of other people's tailwaters, and it's basically a system of interlaced open ditches. And if there were any kind of spill or contamination, it could very quickly affect a lot of people very fast. And when you look from the air at the landscape here and you see how small it is and how connected it is, it's hard to imagine how you could stick a highly industrial activity in the middle of all this agricultural land.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
And finally this morning, following up on a story we reported yesterday, the Aspen Skiing Company has given a combined $50,000 to organizations working to prevent oil and gas drilling in the Thompson Divide, including EcoFlight, or is that EcoFlight, excuse me. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more for us.
You may see more photos and mineral surveys of the Thompson Divide in the coming months. That's because of a large grant from an Aspen Ski Company nonprofit. The Environment Foundation has given a combined $50,000 to Wilderness Workshop, EcoFlight, and the Thompson Divide Coalition. It's the largest grant of its kind from the foundation, and EcoFlight President Bruce Gordon says it's going to make a big difference right away.
We will be flying politicians, media representatives, and concerned citizens over this area. We have been doing this through the years. However, we're really stepping up our efforts.
Like the group's recent aerial tour of the divide for Senator Michael Bennett, Gordon says the Aspen organization will now do two or three times as many flyovers as before. EcoFlight will also use its $10,000 grant to shoot and produce more photos and video of the divide. The Thompson Divide Coalition got $20,000. The group plans to spend some of that on better understanding the oil and gas resources on the divide. Zane Kessler is executive director for the Carbondale Group.
We'll be analyzing the geology and the formations within this area from a broader perspective and really, no pun intended, drilling down into the details to identify what some of these specific individual leases might be worth on the open market.
Information that could prove valuable for the group's overall goal.
Ultimately, that'll help us get to a point with industry where hopefully we have a market-based price that we can agree on for a buyout effort.
The third recipient of the grant money is Wilderness Workshop. They're also based in Carbondale and also got $20,000 for their work to protect the Thompson Divide. Dave Reed is communications director.
There's a tremendous desire on the part of this whole valley-wide community to help out, and people are coming to us offering to help in all sorts of ways. So this money will help us pay for our new community organizer who's supporting these citizen efforts.
Like recent sign-making gatherings and yoga and bike events designed to raise money for preserving the Thompson Divide. Reed says it's good the Ski Co grant came through because the Wilderness Workshop took a gamble earlier this spring. They already hired that community organizer without knowing if they'd get the money.
But it had to be done. I mean, if you'll recall, 6 weeks ago, this suspension decision hadn't been made, and we were looking at a May 31st expiration date for these leases, and a ton of stuff had to be done to rally the public. And so, thank God this money's coming in.
Earlier this month, Wilderness Workshop and others filed an appeal regarding oil and gas leases on the divide. The BLM is reviewing that appeal and may respond by a week from today. Agency spokesman Stephen Hall explained the next step.
The state director could decide that the suspension shouldn't have been granted and reverse that decision, which would then set off a whole different set of considerations in terms of how to address the potential expiration of the leases, a variety of things. Or the BLM state director could say, you know what, the decision was right, we followed the right process, and we stand behind the decision.
The state BLM director is Helen Hankins. Again, Stephen Hall.
As always, at any point in time, someone can file a lawsuit in federal court and choose to have their concerns addressed via the judicial branch.
Late last week, the Denver Post reported SG Interests decided to drop one 2,500-acre oil and gas lease. It was not included in the leases appealed by Wilderness Workshop and others. The Thompson Divide Coalition said SG Interests dropping the lease is a step in the right direction, but Executive Director Zane Kessler says it doesn't come close to resolving the larger controversy over oil and gas drilling in the Thompson Divide. I'm Elise Thatcher.
And that concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.